What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Midnight Terrors podcast. My name is Kevin, and I'm here with Roy R. Jacob Honeybrook. What's up, brother?
Hey, what's going on, man? How are you doing today?
Doing good, doing good. I'm wearing a Monster Squad shirt right now, and we're about to talk about a movie, so it's a good day.
Nice. I'm wearing a black t-shirt and a gray cardigan, and we are about to talk some holiday horror.
You stole my outfit, bro.
It's the Taylor Swift special. Every fan has a nice cardigan because her song Cardigan.
I mean, just come on, Roy. I put a PSA out that it was either going to be black cardigan or Monster Squad shirt, so both of those were off the table.
Well, call the fashion police.
Okay. But anyway, we are indeed about to talk about some holiday horror, and we are doing so in style because we've got Dan, Dirty Gnome Dan, is our guest today. What's up, dude?
What's going on, guys?
How you doing?
Not too bad. It's been a while.
Awesome. It has been a while. Not actually though. I'll pull back the curtain and own up to being a dumbass here. So this is a re-record episode, people. You're only hearing this one as the initial one, but we recorded this about a week ago, and then I made a mistake with converting the Zoom file and lost the file. So
Welcome to the Dumbass Club. I've been holding it down long enough.
yeah, it's a redo.
Round two. Fight.
But I'm glad we were able to make it happen still. I was very sad to lose that episode, but it's okay. We're here to redo it. I'm glad we were able to do it in such a timely manner so that this can be released. This is coming out the Sunday before Christmas, so this is perfect. So you all see in the title, we're talking about the original Silent Night, Deadly Night from 1984, as picked by Dan. Dan, what was the reason for picking this movie for us tonight? Today, wherever we are.
it's just a holiday staple, and as you guys know, I'm a fan of the slasher, so fits both categories.
This is true. This is true. I like the mix that you have going on of the 80s horror, because the last time you were on the show, we talked about the original Fright Night, which was glorious. And this is no exception. Silent Night, Deadly Night was a good time. Dan, when did you first see this one? Do you remember?
I don't. It was probably a little later in life, but I mean, it was probably when I saw all these other movies, high school probably.
Nice.
But it stuck with me, and yeah, it's become a staple for the holiday season.
Hell yeah. Probably surprise, surprise to no one. This is my first watch. I've heard about this movie for a few years now. I knew it was a Killer Santa Claus movie, but I really had never sat down to watch it, which is funny because I bought the Blu-ray for it about 6 years ago, but never got around to watching it. And so, long time coming, and I'm excited to finally talk about it.
It happens. I have plenty of movies I buy and I'm going to watch, and they're still on my shelf wrapped. So it happens.
Absolutely. Roy, when did you first see Silent Night, Deadly Night?
I can't remember if I've seen this one before because I've seen the second one so many times. But, half of the second one is just a recap of the original Silent Night, Deadly Night. So I feel like I've seen this one before, and I may have. I know with Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. I saw that probably back in high school when we were watching all these cheesy B horror movies. So this one's kind of been on my radar for a while, and I may or may not have seen it. I like to leave a little mystery.
Hell yeah. And I started to become more acquainted with this movie thanks to one of my favorite bands, Ice Nine Kills, with their song Merry Axmas, which is about Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Yeah, it's funny going back and listening to that one after seeing the movie because you pick up on so many of the little references they throw out there.
Yeah. And it's a great song.
It
It's
is.
that like deathcore breakdown in the later part of the song there.
Yeah.
Which I do love that the breakdown line is it's fucking garbage day.
Classic line for a classic song. I like what they did.
Insert part two.
Love it. I do love, by the way, that they have a sequel that is 30 minutes of content from the original film. Like, that's such a great way to make a sequel. I love it.
I think it was good too because the original only had a limited theatrical release, so there were probably a lot of people who had never experienced the first one. So seeing the second one, I know for me, I saw the second one first. It was nice to have that explainer at the beginning. Upon subsequent watches, maybe not so much, but I know being unfamiliar with it, it was pretty cool to have that and see where this all came from, this nutty fucking story.
Absolutely. And a quick little plot synopsis for those listening, a little recap of what Silent Night, Deadly Night is about. It is about a young boy named Billy who is traveling for Christmas with his parents as a child, and his parents are butchered by a criminal Santa Claus. So he witnesses his parents being killed by Santa Claus, and then years later, he's still traumatized, also traumatized from being abused at an orphanage, and he becomes a killer Santa Claus. It's real psychological and fucked up and dark, and we have a very brutal slasher from there on out. So.
So metal.
Is it that psychological though?
It's psychological, yes.
I mean, I can analyze this thing to hell, but I think at the end of the day, it's just a fun killer Santa movie.
Well, the storyline is psychological, but yes, the surface level is just a fun slasher movie, yes.
Do you know Santa phobia is actually a real thing?
I can see it.
No, not that.
Yeah, it's mainly in kids like 4 to 7, and then they grow out of it, but this guy just kept it rolling, man. He hung with the gimmick.
When I was young, I was a huge Spider-Man fan, and then my parents got a Spider-Man to show up at my birthday, and he scared the hell out of me, so I ran away.
His guts hanging out of the Santa suit or
There
the
was something
Spider-Man suit.
hanging out of the Spider-Man suit. They said they all got a crotch shot from him
Oh, God.
because it was
Kevin, what
tights.
happened to you? Ah, oh, too
Not
tight.
actually hanging out, but they're like, we knew what he was packing.
3 inches.
Two
3 inches of
plums.
glory.
Roy, do you still have production notes for this one?
A bag of plums.
Bag of
Bag of
plums.
plums.
I sure do. I do all mine in a notebook, so it's still hanging around. Much like chlamydia.
Much like the
Not
bag of
for me.
plums that you pack.
Much like the bag of plums. Please, I'm packing the grapefruits.
Think you might need to get that checked out by a doctor, dude.
Yeah, that's not healthy.
Only your sister touches me
Can
down there,
you even put your legs together? Jesus.
Anyway, here's production notes. All right, so controversy is the name of the game for this one. But before we get to that, it started out. A college student had written the executive producer. He created a short story, and it was known as He Sees You When You're Sleeping. And basically, it's about a killer Santa Claus. The producer liked the premise, but he didn't really like the slasher genre. So he hired a guy to write a screenplay from the short story, which I found weird because it turns out just to be a slasher movie at the end of the day. So that's how that one came about.
Interesting.
Yeah, I guess back then you could just send your ideas to movie studios and maybe they'd work with it.
All right.
Good luck with that nowadays.
Hey,
This
yeah.
isn't a remake. All right, up next. Once the movie was actually written, it went to another title. It was called Sleigh Ride. And when they were auditioning directors, Sam Raimi was actually considered to direct this one, but it went to Charles E. Sellier, and he actually hates it. And in his later years, he actually said it was the worst film he ever made.
Oh,
I know,
that's
it's
unfortunate.
such a classic, and it seems to be a split decision because some people really love this movie. For example, Quentin Tarantino has one of the original film canisters of this thing, so there's certainly a fan base for this. And I think it's a lot of the time and place. If you'd seen this in the 80s or whatever, you probably walked away with a better opinion than seeing it 40 years later.
Gotcha. Holy shit, this guy made a lot of movies, by the way.
What else did he do?
Nothing that I am familiar with, but there's a documentary In Search of Noah's Ark in the 70s. There's something called The Brothers O'Toole, Guardians of the Wilderness. He's a lot of producer credits.
Did he ever find Noah's Ark?
No idea.
I feel like we may have heard about that if he did.
Yeah, he also, let's see what else is on here. As director, something called The Annihilators, which is an action movie.
Sounds pretty badass.
I was gonna say, it sounds like sci-fi horror.
Yeah, I want to be an annihilator.
And then, yeah, a lot of writing credits. So this guy loved film. I think Silent Night, Deadly Night is probably. Oh, you know what? It says best known for creating the American book and television series, The Life and Times of Grizzly Adams.
Oh,
Grizzly
wait.
Adams did have a beard.
No, I'm thinking of Jeremiah Johnson. That guy fucking
Yeah,
rules.
and then also known for directing the notorious Christmas-themed slasher film, Silent Night, Deadly Night. It
Yeah,
says
how.
he also wrote and produced more than 30 films and 230 television shows during his career.
Damn, that's awesome. What an accomplishment.
Yeah, right.
230.
Roy, real quick, can you repeat your first production note again?
Yeah, this was originally written as a short story by a college student, and he sent it in to the director, or I'm sorry, the producer. Producer wasn't really sold on slasher ideas, so he hired a guy to write the screenplay.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, sorry, my mind went blank for a second.
Why am I even doing these?
Hey, I'm intrigued. I want to see Sam Raimi do a Christmas movie, Killer
Me
Santa.
too.
Let's go, Dead Night Santa.
An Evil Dead Christmas.
I love that title. I might steal that and use it as a book, and then we can go to court and never speak again.
Oh
Roy, that's a bad idea. There's audio proof on the podcast
no.
that Dan
Son of
came
a
up with it
bitch.
first.
That's not the first time I've incriminated myself.
So what's your last production note?
All right, this is where the controversy comes in because this originally had a limited theatrical release. And it was released the same time as Nightmare on Elm Street and actually outperformed it. But Coca-Cola owned TriStar, and some parent groups got a hold of the trailer, or they saw it during a football game on a commercial. And their heads basically exploded because they're like, how dare you bastardize Santa and make him a killer? When Coca-Cola got wind of this, they basically went to TriStar and shut down the major theatrical release. They never really admitted to it, but I mean, come on, this movie was doing well, limited release. Why would they not put it out theatrically, wide release? So it's pretty obvious Coca-Cola stepped in, who has a lot of Santa marketing, and said, yo, you're not doing a killer Santa movie with our money.
Shame, shame. And then naturally, I imagine this movie found its footing in video stores and home media release for sure.
Pretty much, but even that was complicated because when Coca-Cola stepped in, the producer lost everything basically. He lost all the film and all the soundtrack elements, so he had to buy all that back and then put it to video. And then I don't think the soundtrack was released until something like 20 years later because they had such a tough time getting that back. But yeah, it's really unfortunate that you can make something and just have it taken away like that. It's fucked up.
Yeah. Well, nevertheless, though, it's here now, and we all got to enjoy a watch of this, and we're going to talk about it. So we're going to dive into plot stuff. Thank you, Roy, for the production notes, as always.
You are very welcome.
So, movie begins. We've got Billy and his family driving to go see their. His grandfather, and it's revealed that his grandfather is in a mental hospital. And I just remember on my first watch, this grandfather would have scared the shit out of me as a kid if I watched this.
Yeah, this guy's a real goal.
This is the infamous, if you meet Santa Claus tonight, boy, you better run.
Run for your life.
He gives a 110%.
Yeah, creep factor 100%.
Did this grandpa have something with Santa happen to him like you had with Spider-Man?
Okay, so I just registered that. No, I was actually about to ask y'all, why does the grandfather know that Santa is going to punish the wicked?
That's what I was asking. That maybe it's something like this family's always targeted by Santa.
So it's a
Like
family
that,
curse?
yeah. Like, wouldn't that be something? Santa's actually real and this entity, and he just torments these people, but he takes different shapes. Like this year was a robber that kills the parents.
I'm holding you up, asshole. Talk about another actor that gives it 110%. When we cut away to the criminal Santa Claus and he holds up a gas station, and the Santa Claus pulls out a gun and the store worker is like, "What is this? What's going on?" And he just says, "I'm holding you up, asshole. Empty the register." It's just
And
like,
this begins a long string of hilarious deaths.
yeah, the gunshot death of the gas station clerk is so abrupt.
Yeah. And just the
Oh,
face he makes, like, oh, I've been shot.
dude, he does the full on like, "I'm dying, let me stick my tongue out." Like,
Might as well have just put X's across his eyes at that point.
we should put like a version of the movie that has like the James Bond GoldenEye death, where like you spin and blood just trickles down the screen
Oh, yeah.
and plays that James Bond music.
Wow.
Yes, spot on, Roy.
Yeah, I gave it my best.
and then
I'm already bombing tonight.
today.
Today. I'm used to
Yeah.
recording at night.
I know, so am I. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon as we're recording this, so
Yeah, I'm looking out my window and the sun's out. I don't really like this.
it burns. But then the Santa also has another line where after he kills the store clerk and takes the money out of the register, he goes, "$31. Merry fucking Christmas."
Talk about ungrateful. This boy is on the naughty list.
Yeah, and this is where he did he I guess he staged a car breakdown so he
I think his
can.
car actually did break down.
Okay, did he steal their car? No, we never see if he stole their car.
No, because they so he stages the car breakdown, the family with the grandpa pulls up, or the family who wants to see the grandpa pulls up. He tries to carjack him, the Santa does. They attempt to drive away, but then he just blows the fuck out of them with a gun. And yeah, pretty much murders the parents.
The death of the parents is super disturbing, by the way.
Very.
Yeah, that kind of hit me out of nowhere. Like when he's doing the stuff with the mom and like ripping her shirt off and cutting her up, I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
Cuts her throat. Yeah,
I
no,
thought this was supposed to
it's
be cheesy fun. Like, this is
no,
getting real.
this is a scene that's like almost out of a different movie.
It's a good way to
Like,
put it.
it is very, very disturbing. But Billy runs off to the side of the street, and this is where the Santa also yells out something like, "Where are you, you little bastard?"
It's like something out of Home Alone. I'm gonna bite your fingers off, you little brat.
Yeah, just put a spider on the Santa's face and he'll scream and then run away.
Actually just watched Home Alone for the first time in about 30 years, 2 nights ago.
Greatest movie scream ever is when this spider gets put on Marv's face.
I like the meme. It was something to the effect of, if you were born in 1990, you're now 3 years older than Marv was,
Oh, weird.
which is shocking because he looks old as hell.
But yeah, so Billy and his brother Ricky are left alive, and they end up at an orphanage, which is equally just as terrible because Mother Superior, who runs the orphanage, is a major bitch.
That's an understatement.
Yes, she. Everything is a sin, and everything is not okay with her.
Well, he experienced another trauma there. I think he was enjoying it a little too much the second time.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I remember talking about this on the initial recording. Let's talk about this fucking sex scene. Question, are these orphans from the orphanage, or are these people that work at the orphanage? Because they look way too old to be orphans.
I thought it was a nun and a guy she snuck in. Naughty nun.
But who's the guy?
I don't know, some random guy she wanted to fuck. Nuns have needs too.
No. Let's clarify, Roy. She's not fucking him. He is dry humping her leg and moaning.
Using humping loosely.
The way that he is on the bed with her, like we see feet entangled first, and then lots of and then we zoom up, and they are just very passionately question mark making out and caressing each other, but nothing is happening.
It's definitely weird, like he's eating her face.
It is very just the moans were killing me, dude.
I remember the first time I thought I had sex, I was actually just humping the girl's leg. I was like, damn, this feels pretty good. And then she told me that was my leg, and I'm like, man, I can't imagine what the real fit thing feels like over
Good God. But yes, this sex scene was cracking me up with the over-the-top moans. And then Mother Superior sees Billy spying on them and then shoos him away, but then she goes to beat them, I guess. The two people having sex.
Yeah, she smacks him with a belt, and all the girls I date, they seem to get turned on by that. They don't really scream in terror like this. I'm making myself out to be a real scumbag tonight, aren't
Notice that silence there, Roy.
I'll show myself out.
Mother Superior also gave it 110%, though, because she runs in with the belt, closes the door, and all you hear is something like, "Take it! Take it!"
The belt!
I was like, either that or she's joining in, I guess. I don't
I think that's a different movie.
know.
Backdoor Nuns 9.
But yeah, so this orphanage sucks, but there's one nun that's nice to Billy. And as he gets older, he gets a job at a store, like a toy store.
Yeah, and the manager of this toy store is awesome. Like, just a weird old guy.
Is this the one that I compared you to that was like, "We're closing
Oh,
shop, time to
yeah.
get drunk," or something?
Seven
Time to get
o'clock.
shit-faced.
Yep.
I was like, I remember that
Time
initial
to get
note I had
shit-faced.
was like, "Work's done, time to get shit-faced." And I'm like, "Roy, question mark?"
Me every Friday. Who's bringing the four locos?
Oh, it's so good.
One gets me weird, two blacks me out.
This is like a long montage, though. This takes up a lot of time, the montage of around the store.
I love that we need a montage of this guy stocking shelves. I'm like, wow, his life is just as mundane as mine.
Don't you know there's a deeper meaning there, Roy?
Please, I'm intrigued.
Life piles onto him the way that he piles onto the shelves.
I like that.
Product.
Life does pile on. It's been kicking me in the fucking teeth.
We're all just grocery shelves.
In the store of life.
Being covered with shit. Oh.
Oh, that's what we're really trying to say, is what Dan was getting at there.
Pretty much.
But yeah, so long montage, and then they're gonna do a party, but before that, Billy is asked to be the Santa,
Which is where he gets the Santa outfit.
which it's been shown that oh, you know what? There's one part I skipped over. When he was younger at the orphanage, I remember this made me laugh, is when they made him sit on Santa's lap because they were trying to help him get over his fear, quote unquote help, and he fucking like KO punches the Santa out of the chair.
Dude, that Santa goes flying too. Like, bro, you got hit by a 7-year-old. How bad is that gonna be?
Yeah, he's eight, and this like no, and then he punches Santa, and Santa just like plops onto the floor.
I think he probably got kicked in the nuts too.
Yeah,
That's the director's cut. Yeah, he walks
I
over.
think he probably got kicked in the nuts and then punched.
I think being a Santa would be my own personal hell because I hate kids and the fact they'd have to be around me, I would just want to run out of there screaming.
So they have you like chained to a big old chair, and then
Yeah.
kids come up and just sit on you, pee on you, kick you in the nuts.
I think I would take an elf's hat that's pointy and just shove it into my eye. I gotta go home. I'm full of
That's
holiday cheer, aren't
Roy, you want the metal version of like a Santa. It's like Santa on a throne with chains and like a demon throne and Santa babes.
I? Santa babes, yeah, elf babes, fuck yeah. And if I could take like the bad kids that are annoying me and just throw them down a pit of fire, hell yeah.
Looks like. I would like to formally apologize to everybody listening to this episode right now. This is
No.
us trying to recreate the first episode by just making it as absurd and stupid as possible. So I apologize.
This is daytime, Honeybrook. I just got done chugging energy drinks and lifting weights. That's what I always do before podcast this. So I don't know why I'm out of pocket today. I'm sorry.
It's
I
the
don't know.
sunlight.
Yes, it's still
Yeah.
burning. God, it's making me angry.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I did also just remember that there was another sex scene that got thrown in there. Billy falls for another coworker at the store, Pamela. And that he had like a vision of her, like another just weird, uncomfortable sex scene. Again,
So
what is with the just moaning and like not
doesn't
doing
know
anything?
any better, so that's why he's dreaming like that,
Just
because he doesn't
like
know any better.
just
Yeah,
caressing,
because
yeah, just the caressing and the like slipping and
if
sliding across the bed, it's just so absurd.
slipping and
If it was
sliding.
more intense, I don't know, we'd have to, we'd need to, we don't understand why.
Dan makes a good point. The only sex he's seen were those two just absolutely sucking at it, so maybe that's just how he envisions it now. He's got to be like two wet otters.
Oh my God.
Oh
Wow. Yeah, so the Santa Claus actor that they had got injured. So Billy has to do it. And he starts
God,
to
how did he get injured again?
Ice skating, I think.
ice skating, yeah. Like a broken ankle, I think.
Yeah. What a dweeb.
And so yeah, Billy has to become Santa, and it's obviously very triggering for him. He's also having visions of his parents' murder over and over again. And then Billy's first kill is towards another store worker.
That guy was a
He
dickhole.
was awful. I was glad to see him go. And he hangs him with the Christmas lights.
Superhuman strength.
Yes. He puts the lights around this guy and then he lifts him up off the ground, the whole body weight with just the lights. I was like, those are some strong lights, and Billy has superhuman strength.
And so strong, the lights cut his fucking throat.
Right. Well, they got
Yeah.
razor blades on there.
And you're, this is also where, again, the script writing is actually kind of clever in its like darkness, in that, all his life Billy was told like Santa punishes the wicked, and then Mother Superior's talking about punishment is good, and then Billy takes it to the next level, saying punishment is good as well, and then that's when he starts to kill people. It's actually kind of clever writing.
That's a good pickup. I didn't even think of that.
Punish.
Yes, the over the top cheese of punish. Punish whenever he is killing people, just kind of, yeah, makes me laugh every time. He also kills Pam with a box cutter.
Oh,
Brutal.
yeah. Cuts her up
C cuts
vertically.
her. Yeah, cuts her
Yeah.
up.
Yeah. Long drawn out deaths. This is almost like a Grindhouse movie, a little bit.
Yeah, I was actually surprised with how gory the deaths were, because a lot of those movies from back then, primarily I think Friday the 13th, how violent and gory that could have been if it hadn't had to be censored. And this one just goes full on with it. It doesn't hold back much at all.
Yeah. Do either of y'all remember how he kills the store owner?
He shoots the one with the bow and arrow like
Yeah.
fucking Legolas.
That.
Oh, he takes the claw or the hammer.
Oh,
Oh,
he,
yes, that's right. The
yeah, he buries
hammer
it right in his
impalement.
bald ass head.
Right in the forehead.
Yeah, I thought that maybe he would just hit him with it, but then like he took the pointy side and it was like embedded in the store owner's head. I was like, "Oh, Jesus."
Mean, he still could have. He could have hit him once and then flipped it around, then freaking went one more time with the freaking claw part of
Yeah.
it.
Great special effects, though. That was a very disgusting effect.
Superhuman strength, too. That takes some muscle to embed a hammer in some dude's mug.
Yeah.
Love the shot because it's the way his silhouette is.
It's real creepy.
Yeah, it's actually kind of creepy, but also kind of funny when he's stalking people around the store, because for whatever reason, this Santa suit jingles more than any other suit I've ever heard.
A lot of bells
Knew
and
his
whistles.
sack could jingle.
And no, he just walks around and ting ting ting, and people are supposed to look scared, but it's kind of funny that it's jingling as he walks.
I
I mean,
also like this is shot in a toy store in the 1980s, because just seeing the shelves and some of the shit I had, like, I distinctly remember seeing a He-Man with the tiger thing he rode. I'm like, man, we had that. The tiger thing was hard as fuck. Like, you could knock your teeth out with it.
so that's something I remember saying the first time we recorded this. I wish that almost all the murders took place in the store, because I just was getting such a kick out of seeing him use stuff from the store.
It's inventive, right? Like the bow and arrow.
That was so absurd. Like, I'm surprised that these arrows are sold in a toy store because they are lethal. Like this arrow goes through the Mr. Sims manager. No, his manager, Miss Randall. And like that arrow goes through her and it is blood everywhere.
Like those lawn darts. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very pristine shot too, because he, I mean, bullseye right away. Unbelievable.
Hey, man, what was he doing in that orphanage? Maybe he was taking archery lessons.
I guess, yeah. And then we get probably one of the more absurd scenes is the couple Denise and Tommy having sex on top of the pool table.
Another humping and weird noises and music and
With some of the
music is
greatest,
best.
with some of the
Yeah.
greatest sex puns ever. Oh yes, the fucking song that's playing later on. We'll get to that. But yes, Denise and Tommy are having sex or starting to have sex on top of the pool table. And Denise's, oh, this is Linnea Quigley, by the way. Denise.
Trash from Return of the Living Dead, right?
Yep, the punk
And
girl.
also Night of the Demons.
Yeah, she
Ooh.
is in Night of the Demons. She's in a lot of stuff, yeah.
She was
She's
in a ton of
awesome.
things in the 80s,
Yeah,
yeah.
80s, that's what she did. She was
Yeah.
in a lot of 80s movies.
Yeah, she's awesome though.
Naked. This is why Dan
That
likes
too.
80s movies so much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we can just do a whole series about Linnea Quigley movies.
Probably good.
They're all pretty good.
They are.
Didn't
She's
she even have
awesome.
like a workout video? Or something with a
I think
chainsaw?
so, yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see that new one that came out called like Murder Size or Killer Size. It's like an 80s workout
Oh
class.
yeah.
It looks awesome.
I just want us to
I saw it.
discuss. Oh, did you?
Is it good? Yeah. Nice.
I just want us to discuss the movie Killer Workout from 1987.
Oh.
Have you
I
seen
think
that, Dan?
so, because I think after I saw like Murder Size that I had to check out some of these other movies. Oh, there's another one too. I can't think of it that was in the same
So,
vein.
Roy, Killer Workout, I think
It
is
might
on
be that
YouTube.
one.
I think it's on YouTube. We'll have to watch it. Sorry, guys.
It's
And
daytime.
I know, right? And the original title for the movie was Aerobicide.
That's pretty cool.
And then they switched it to Killer Workout for some reason.
Ah, it's a nice poster.
Yeah, look.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I like that.
And it is a slasher movie that takes place at a gym, and the killer uses an oversized safety pin.
No shit. Dude, there's a lot of gym equipment you could do damage with.
It's a great movie. We'll have to talk about it.
I think I told you guys I used to watch Showtime Beyond and they'd always have these weird 80s movies on. And probably the strangest one I saw that comes to my mind every now and again, it was about a killer television, like one of those real old box TVs. And I forget what it was. They'd put like a VHS in and you'd be dead. It was real bad. Anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah. Real quick, Linnea Quigley did it's a horror workout from 1990. It's on Blu-ray.
Now, how does that work? Does she kill people by exercising them to death, or is there a legit killer?
Think it's just her working out with a fucking chainsaw. I don't know.
Okay.
Here's a cover.
Looks like her working out with a chainsaw.
So,
All
let's
right.
see. Da, 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 da. Yeah, it's 1989 aerobic video spoof with a gruesome twist.
I'm intrigued. I love stuff like that. Like
Roy,
talk shows.
you gotta make a workout video now.
Yes. I like where your head's at.
There we go. The Honeybrook workout routine with a horror twist.
The honey workout. The
The
honey
honey
out.
workout,
Honey
yeah.
workout. I'll have to watch the trailer later and see how
Yeah.
cheese that is. 90s cheese.
But yeah, no. So we get to Denise and Tommy, and Roy mentioned it earlier. The song that Tommy puts on, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but it's like,
Just
Merry Christmas, Santa. It's
picture the
like,
most stereotypical porn music ever. Bing, 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 bing,
yes.
bing.
And he puts that on to drown out the Christmas caroling, and he's like, I can't focus with that shit. So he puts on this absurd, like, bad jazz Christmas number for them to have sex to. It's but
Isn't
then
there a line too? It's she's like, you'll be coming in late, and he's like, yeah, that makes two of
oh
us.
no, I got you. So
All right.
Cindy's little sister wakes up. At least I think it's her little sister, and they're like, stay upstairs, Cindy. You know, if you don't go to bed, like Santa won't come if you're awake. And then her boyfriend, Tommy, goes, that makes one of us.
What a sleaze ball. I love
So
Tommy.
disgusting. And then doesn't he say something like eight ball, quarter pocket when like they're about to have sex?
He sure does.
Yes, he does.
And then Denise gets impaled by Billy on the deer antlers on the wall.
Yeah,
Oh, but
again,
just
that's.
leaves her there. Not before answering the door to let her cat in with no shirt on.
Yeah. She puts her little jean shorts on and runs up the stairs. No top. Hello, cat. Or she's calling for the damn cat.
It's
Cat.
just
And then right when you
topless.
think something's gonna happen, the cat comes into the door.
Yeah. Topless and just freezing cold in the dead of winter, no shirt.
Pointy nips.
And
I can't talk. I've opened my door to get packages, and I'm just in a bath towel.
and you
My
bend over to
hairy
grab the
ass chest.
package and you're like, oh shit, sorry, my towel fell off.
Oops, sorry, neighborhood. I didn't mean for that.
But then yeah, so she gets impaled on the deer antlers, and again, Billy with his punish, punish.
Creative kill with the antlers too, because they show it in the shadows, and then you get that close up of the antler just busting through her torso.
Yeah, it was like a reminded me of a Texas Chainsaw Massacre from the decade before with like the impalement on the hook.
Oh yeah.
Might have been a little nod to that. I don't know. It was like almost shot the same way too.
I think you're onto something.
And then I do remember saying, hell of a way to punish someone is to throw him out the window, because Tommy gets thrown out the window and has huge glass pieces that don't break stuck in his body.
After being choked by the phone cord.
Yes.
And the whole throw out window deaths in these old movies always just looks so bad. You see the guy go through the window, then the next shot they're just like crumpled up down there.
Yes. And this is where Billy gives Cindy, the little girl, the box cutter with blood on it that he used to kill someone.
Yeah, now she's a accessory to murder.
Yeah, you
Thanks a lot,
got the
Billy.
fingerprints all over that. And
Is the little
then
girl's name Cindy?
yes.
Do you think they got that from
Oh, the Grinch?
the
That's a good point.
Grinch?
Yeah, there's a lot of little nods in there. We got the Texas Chainsaw Massacre kill, and we've got the choking with the phone cord. That's the Halloween nod, and then a nod to the Grinch.
Is the girl's name in that something like Cindy Lou Who?
Yes.
God, I can't stand the Grinch.
What?
I don't like the music. It's
Oh,
shittily
all right. This episode's over.
animated.
But so we're gonna, yeah, next year we're gonna talk about The Mean One starring David Howard Thornton.
That one does sound good.
But yeah, no, and then we get to the death scene that made me laugh the hardest, which is the sledding death.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. It was
Sliding down a hill that has, like, yeah.
zero inclination on it.
Exactly.
These 30-year-olds sledding and getting bullied. Like, what is
I was
happening?
like, you guys should be at a bar getting wasted right now, not
Right.
frickin' ski or frickin' sledding down a damn hill.
Question. So two bullies show up to take the sleds from these other two kids, quote unquote. Why can they not just fight for their sleds? Why do they have to give them up?
That would have been epic, man. We could have had like a freaking killer fight in the snow.
Like something from the Warriors.
Right? Warriors, come out and play.
The Warriors did it. They shot Cyrus.
So in the dark, these two bullies steal the sleds from those other two, and then they start. I laughed so hard when the one guy's like, "Yo, check this out, man! Woo!" And then he's going like 2 miles an hour, like down this hill that has no hill on it.
Needed that Clark Griswold grease.
Yeah, he'd be flying then.
End up at
It'd probably
Walmart.
make a little more sense with the
And he
next part.
gets. Right, and he gets
Yeah.
decapitated by Billy, who's been jingling in the background in the
That
woods.
a cat?
But yes, he gets decapitated, and then the headless body on the sled just rolls down the rest of the hill to the other bully.
That could have been a lot cooler because I like the idea of the headless guy on the sled sliding down. Like you said, there's like no hill.
No, it's like a flat surface, and they're rolling down it like it's like a 45 degree angle.
I think they just shot it at an angle to make it look like that. Because.
Dude, Roy, funny story. Having well, Dan, you can probably relate to this too, because you're in Colorado, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, funny story. Me and my cousin, when we were younger, I spent Christmas in Ohio one year, and it was negative 10 degrees.
Sorry to hear that.
And we got so
Which
excited
part?
about
All the above. I'm getting the hell out of Ohio tomorrow. I can't wait.
we got so excited to sled because the snow was so thick, and they have their street that's covered in snow, and then on the sidewalk there's this big mound of snow. So we're like, let's put the sled on top of the hill, this little mound, and then roll down into the street, not realizing that the snow would just kind of break apart when we got to the street. Thought I broke my ass bone when we hit that concrete. It was so painful.
I know when we would go sledding as kids, we lived so my home city Altoona, there's tons of giant hills, and we lived close to the top of one, and we had an alley that we would sled ride down. Well, at the bottom of this is just this intersection, and we would always try to go through the intersection. Like, how dangerous is that? Why did nobody stop us and be like, maybe you shouldn't try to sled through a busy intersection all the time?
Oh, geez.
Growing up in PA.
Yikes.
Jeez. I also that year, my family and I are living in South Carolina already at that point, and we show up in Ohio for Christmas. It's negative 10. We've all got like light hoodies on and
Oh
jeans,
no.
and our family are like, "What the fuck are you guys doing?" We're like, "We're from South Carolina and California. We don't have any of the fucking snow gear."
Not dressed for the occasion.
Nope, and I fell face first into the snow when I got snow gear on, and that snow hit my face. It was so cold.
Yeah, to the point where it like burns.
Yeah, it was almost like frostbite feeling. It was terrible. But yeah, so then Billy's gonna go back to the orphanage, and we've got Captain Richards and Sister Margaret. They realize that Billy's gonna go back to the orphanage. When he gets to the orphanage, he there is a Santa that shows up there and is gunned down by a cop. Oops, it was a
Punish. I
yeah.
love they just put the APB out to shoot everyone dressed as Santa Claus
Like on
on
Christmas.
they almost shot the dad entering his house
In
trying to
front of his daughter.
surprise his daughter.
I forgot about that.
They
Yeah,
almost shot him
they put
right in
out
front of
a
her.
shoot to kill motion on all people dressed as Santa Claus, and this one Santa goes to surprise his daughter, and the cops show up.
They're all surprised. They're like, "What, Daddy?"
Yeah,
And then the
it's so out of place though, because it's characters we've never seen before.
Santa at the orphanage is a priest they just blow away. Why didn't he stop? Because
He
he's
was
deaf.
deaf. Yeah, he couldn't hear you. And it's like, wow, I think that's a bad call. Why are you having a deaf man hang out with kids, especially outside when there's craziness going on?
Did they say that? Was he hard of hearing?
Yeah, that's why I didn't stop when the police were
Yeah.
like,
Draw
Oh, I didn't
him.
catch that.
Yeah, they're like, "Oh, he didn't say anything rude." Yeah, well, it's 'cause he was deaf. It's like,
Yeah,
"Oh."
that's a sad death scene.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
That's what you get for dressing up like Santa.
So Father O'Brien is mistaken for Billy because he's also dressed as Santa, and he's killed. And Billy is coming to the orphanage. He also chops off the snowman's head when he walks into the front yard. Just
Add an insult to injury.
gotta get that out there. But he hides in like a maintenance shed, like a basement or something, which has this long drawn out scene of this other cop trying to look for Billy and then not finding him, being like, oh, I guess everything's okay. And then long drawn out shot of him going up the stairs and
Axe to the chest.
Billy out of nowhere, punish. That death actually made me laugh out
Yeah.
loud.
Axe to the chest, and he
Yeah.
falls down the stairs.
Immediately like axe to the chest and just out of nowhere, punish. I don't know why that's so funny to me. It's so
The
absurd.
way he says it.
Yeah.
Punish!
Yeah. Well, it's like, again, long, quiet shot of this cop going up the stairs and like just silent shot, silent shot, silent shot, punish! Axe to the chest, down the stairs, you're dead. And then Billy comes in to the orphanage. He's gonna slaughter Mother Superior and everybody there. But he gets gunned down.
I always prefer it when the cops show up and blow away the killer as opposed to some stupid teenager figuring out some plot twist to take him down.
Yeah. Well, so Billy dies because he's gunned down by Richards, the other cop, and his dying words are something like, "You're safe now, Santa Claus is gone." And then we see Ricky, the younger brother that was there in the beginning, and he looks at Mother Superior and says, "Naughty," indicating that he is going to get revenge for the death of his brother.
Just imagine, deleted scene. You see Ricky flipping through the Necronomicon. And brings
Clotavarota
his brother back to life.
Clotu
I like this.
Varata necktie.
What about your necktie?
But that's Silent Night, Deadly Night, and then Ricky's gonna lead us into the fantastic garbage day that I can't stop watching.
Telling you,
I
watch
think
part three. It's weird.
I'm sure. I don't know why that garbage day scene is so funny to me. It's just the
His
best
facial
delivery.
expression.
It's the best delivery ever, man. Garbage day.
Then the
And
dude
then
gets shot and flies back 50 feet.
yes, and his little like, "What? No." And then just
Yeah.
getting blown away.
Just
So
top tier
absurd.
acting all around.
Yeah, and then Ricky's little ha. Oh, you know
Oh,
what?
yeah.
Speaking of everything we just talked about, by the way, and Ice Nine Kills that we mentioned earlier, I went to Silver Scream Con last year in Boston, and Robert Brian Wilson, who plays Billy here, is that his name, Dan?
I believe so.
Or is it Brian Robert Wilson? Hold
Wilson,
up.
Ryan, Robert.
Don't do that,
Robert
Blake.
Brian Wilson.
Robert Brian Wilson, okay. Robert Brian Wilson and Eric Freeman, who plays Ricky. So Ricky and Billy were both at Silver Scream Con, and then Ice Nine Kills did a concert during the weekend, and they played Merry Axemas. Eric Freeman and Robert Brian Wilson showed up as Santa Claus and got on stage during that song in Santa outfits.
That's really
Nice.
cool.
Pretty awesome.
Hopefully somebody got some footage of that shit.
It's probably on YouTube somewhere. And they also had the girl from the Clown Cafe scene in Terrifier 2 come up to sing A Grave Mistake with them.
Oh, that's
Cool.
cool.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. But that's Silent Night, Deadly Night. Yeah, this movie's a good ass time. It's super dark and fucked up, yeah, but it's got some fun to it. I will say I remember texting Roy being like, "Yo, is this movie gonna get any better?" Because
You guys were saying it was a slow burn when
the
it started. You're
first
like, what the
like
hell is going
20
on?
the first
Just
20,
wait
30 minutes
out.
were pretty terrible.
Once the montage happens, it picks up.
Yeah,
Yeah.
once they get to the toy store, it's better. Or no, I would say about the time where he punches out Santa Claus. But that's Silent Night, Deadly Night. I recommend it to be seen. It's coming out 3 days before Christmas this episode. So if you haven't watched it yet this Christmas season, check it out. You guys got any extra thoughts on this one?
No, just like you said, a fun killer Santa movie that you don't really need to read too much into. You can just throw it on. It's a fun watch, pretty quick too. It's like 1 hour 20, 1 hour 30. So yeah, I think it's a fun time for this season.
I really want to own this soundtrack too, by the way, because I think these are all like made up Christmas songs.
Yeah, they are.
Because that song that plays in the end credits talking about how Santa's going to punish people for Christmas is kind of funny.
It's out there. I've seen a couple. I don't know if it's If which one's which, but I know I feel like I've seen the score. It's bookmarked somewhere on my phone.
I wonder if Waxwork Records will ever do a print of that.
I think it was one of the other ones. I don't know if Waxworks got it, but another record company has done it for sure.
Okay, cool.
I can see if I can find it if it's the one if you're thinking of. I'll shoot you a message.
Yeah, hell yeah. But yeah, Dan, you got any final thoughts on Silent Night, Deadly Night, the OG?
Not really. We talked about it last time, but they're gonna supposedly reboot it again.
Oh, that's
So.
right. Yes, I remember reading something about this. Let's see, what did we have for the details of this? There's also a movie from 2012 called Silent Night that's like a soft reboot of some sort that has Malcolm McDowell in it. There's five original ones, and then there's like a soft reboot in 2012, and now there's another reboot coming.
I think that one has like a bunch of killer Santas
Oh,
in
does it?
Silent Night. I think so.
Yeah, it says a loose remake of the film titled Silent Night was released on December 4th, 2012, starring Jamie King and Malcolm McDowell. On March tw or wait, on March 2nd, 2021, another remake was announced when Orwo Studios and Black Hanger Studios acquired the rights to the original film. The film has been shelved as of 2024. Oh yes, I remember us talking about this. The 2022 film Christmas Bloody Christmas with the robot Santa began as a pitch for a remake of Silent Night, Deadly Night, but the pitch was rejected for straying too far from the original and became its own film, which I do want to watch that one, by the way. I've heard it's pretty good.
I do, and our dude
Christmas
Gilbert.
Terminator.
And then in November 2024, a reimagining of the film was announced to be produced by Cineverse. The movie is set to be written and directed by Mike P. Nelson and is set for a late 2025 release. I don't know who Cineverse is. But Mike P. Nelson, we might have talked about. What is he known for? VHS 85, and he also did the Wrong Turn reboot from 2021.
Yeah, you were saying that was not good.
I mean, it's a good movie. I just didn't like that it was called Wrong Turn because it's like not
Change the title. You're good.
yeah, it's like it's not the mutants anymore, which is what I like about Wrong Turn.
Right.
So, but hey. So, Dan, you want to sign on to talk about all five or six Silent Night, Deadly Nights across the next six Christmases?
Well, I mean, the next one you could probably do real. We could probably do like part two and three because two is pretty much just part one again. So you could probably squeeze that reel in. Hey, I'm
Yeah,
down.
and then four and five have nothing to do with it. I know part five is called Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, The Toy Maker. I have no idea what it's about, so
Better be an evil toy maker, or I'm gonna be pissed.
That would take us to
misleading
what,
title.
2031?
Yeah,
Yeah.
right?
God, I
Oh,
hope I'm
let's
dead
not
by
talk
then.
about it. Oh boy. Well, that's Silent Night, Deadly Night. Give it a watch this holiday season for sure. Roy, you got some horror news for us?
I do have horror news. What do you want to hear?
Is it news? Late
It's
news?
it might be a little late. Still in the zeitgeist.
Well, before you dive into that, let me do a follow-up to an earlier horror news segment that we did, I think last month.
Is it going to be werewolves?
Yes, I saw werewolves over the week.
Oh.
And yeah, I have no clue why they released this in December. I wish it had come out in October, but it is getting added to my horror regularity. Of watching because I fucking loved Werewolves starring Frank Grillo. It is so absurd and over the top and B horror movie territory, but it's practical effect werewolves. It's like The Purge meets a werewolf story. People are gearing up to combat werewolves for a full 90 minutes, and it is amazing. I won't give anything away, but high recommend. I loved it. One of my favorites this year for sure.
You ever seen Dog Soldiers?
Yes, we did that last year with our boys from Reviewed to Death. It's very much like that.
Nice. I'm down. If that's the case,
Dan,
I'm down.
definitely watch Werewolves. I think you'll love it. It's great. But yeah, so I wanted to follow up on that and say I recommend it to be seen. Yeah.
Yeah, I always thought the premise sounded good when I was reading about it, and then hearing that you really enjoyed it. It's definitely going to go on my watch list.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Roy, what else
You
you got
watch it
for
in
us?
theaters or on stream?
I went to theaters. It
Okay.
had like two show times. Again, I have no clue why they dumped it on December 6th for a release date. I wish they would have put it out in October because it'd be a great thing to watch for Halloween, but it's okay. Still glad I got to see it. Mama Midnight was there with me too, and she enjoyed it as well, so.
On that note, they're doing another Wolfman too.
Yeah, I'm interested on this. I'm gonna see this one for sure because I just love werewolf stuff, but I'm interested to see where this one goes.
Well, I want to know what they're doing because I think it was around Halloween Horror Nights they had a display, and it was a werewolf from supposedly from that movie. If that's real or if that's just,
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
yeah, because a lot of people were upset the way the Wolfman looked, and I was wondering if that was like a ploy to kind of get some people used to something and totally flip it on their head when you see the real Wolfman in the movie. So I don't know.
Is
But
that being released by Blumhouse?
I believe so. I think it's also
Yes, it
same
is. Okay.
director that did Invisible Man.
Oh yeah, it's
Guy from Saw.
Lee Whannell. That's awesome. I didn't know that. He also works with James Wan a lot. He worked on the original Saw, Dead Silence, the Insidious franchise. He actually directed Insidious Part 3. Yeah, Lee Whannell is awesome. That's awesome. I didn't know that. Hell yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll get to that when it comes out, but Roy, what you got for us? What else is happening in the horror world?
Did you guys see there's going to be a new Return of the Living Dead movie?
No.
Yes, I watched the teaser.
How cool was that?
Dude, it was pretty sweet. And
I know.
they snuck in a little Christmas. So freaking pretty much set up is Tarman's walking in this like snowy, like ghostly graveyard hauling a freaking Christmas tree. And it's still plugged in.
Yeah, and they have Silent Night playing in the background, but it's like a real creepy rendition. It's an awesome teaser trailer. Got me hyped for it. I love that Tar Man's back.
Now, is
Yeah.
this a reboot or a sequel?
Believe it's going to be a sequel. Here's what I have on it. So it's going to take place in Christmas 1985, 18 months after the original movie's events. Oh, it was announced on Friday the 13th, back December Friday the 15th. One thing that's cool, or Friday the 13th, what am I saying? Friday the 15th is just as scary. So this one is also going to place all practical effects. They don't want to use CGI at all, which
Hell
is an
yeah.
awesome throwback to the original ones because the effects on that were insane. How they'd make the zombies' faces move and everything, the puppetry and all that.
All right, cool.
So yeah, sequel.
Yeah, check it out,
It's gonna
Kevin.
be the
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'll check that out as soon as we get off here. I only just saw Return of the Living Dead for the first time last year, and I fucking loved it. I got to see it in theaters for the first time. Watch. Loved it. It was so
That's
good.
cool. Yeah, I need to
Now,
see that in theaters. That'd be up there with They Live and Poltergeist.
hell yeah. Now, question about that. Does George Romero have any influence on Return of Living Dead, or is that just something made like away from his franchise?
You want to take this, Dan?
Ah, you, all you.
So basically, what happened is Romero and he had a co-writer do the original Living Dead. And after that, they went their separate ways. And it was decided that Romero's co-writer, I can't think of his name, he would have the rights to Return of the Living Dead. Romero would have the rights to Night of the Living Dead, Day of the Dead, anything of the dead. And the co-writer would have anything Return of the Living Dead. So they branched off. All the Return of the Living Dead movies are by his co-writer. All the dead movies are by Romero. Did I get that right?
Even though it wasn't that long ago that Night of the Living Dead was free reign.
Oh, that's right.
It
Oh
wasn't
yeah,
just
that.
it wasn't that much re or that that recent that it was no longer a public domain. That's why in a lot of movies, if someone's watching a TV, they slip in Night of the Living Dead because they could do it. They didn't get any repercussions.
Is
Is
it
it
back
back
to
to
being
being
privately owned?
I think so. I think it is now.
Okay. Roy, are you, when you said the co-writer, are you talking about John Russo?
Is that who it was? I can
Yeah,
never
because if,
remember his name.
yeah, that's his, I've actually met this guy and seen him at a few cons. He's awesome.
Nice.
Super sweet guy. I actually bought from his table a little cylinder of dirt from the cemetery where they filmed the original Night of the Living Dead.
That is so cool.
Nice.
So if he's writing it, I'll be there. He still works, so it looks like I hope he's a part of it. That'd be awesome.
Well, I love the dichotomy between those two franchises as well. You have the of the dead that are more serious and straightforward zombie horror, And then you have the return movies where it's kind of funnier, dark humor. The zombies are different. They run, they speak. So to have those two different brands out there is, I don't know. I think it's really interesting. Interesting. I think it's really great.
Well, that's why I asked
Somebody save me.
Fabulous. Oh.
well, that's why I asked if
Amazing.
well, that's why I asked if George had any involvement in Return of the Living Dead, because it's such a different tone, but it seems like it's in the same world.
Yeah, well, in the original Return of the Living Dead, if you remember, they say the events of Night of the Living Dead actually happened, and this is all happening after that. So the movie was a real event in the Return of the Living Dead timeline.
All right, Roy, real quick, going back to werewolves, also another selling point is that werewolves feels very much like Land of the Dead in a lot of ways, in the way that the
Oh,
society's broken up. So if that's a
hell
selling
yeah.
point for you, there you go.
Nice. I'm at Big Daddy.
I did too. He's
At a
awesome.
convention. Yeah.
So sick.
Did you take his photo op?
No, it was just I got his autograph.
Yeah, I did the photo op, and he put his teeth and makeup on for the
He always
photo.
wears it. He always wears those contacts,
Yeah, he always
which
has
is eerie.
he always has the contacts in, and he's always got the jumpsuit on. And he is a big dude. Like
Yeah.
he's and
That's why he's Big Daddy. That's
yeah, so
right.
I bought the combo and I did the photo with him, and he goes, "You get what you pay for with me." And so he's like, "Sit tight." And we go to take the picture, and he goes, "You turn around now." It's like, "Okay." 'Cause I thought we were just doing a makeup photo, but then he just starts going, "Mom, take lots of pictures and just keep taking pictures." I'm like, okay. So she's taking pictures, and every shot he's getting closer and closer and closer. And then he grabs me and goes, "Rah!" And there's great shots of me looking scared and terrified while being hugged by Big Daddy. It's pretty awesome. He's a great dude. But
All right.
anyway.
Well, while we're on the topic of zombies, 28 years later, trailer dropped earlier this month, and that is due out next summer. I liked what I saw of the trailer. Obviously, it takes place 28 years after the initial outbreak, and I love stuff like that that explores what happens after the initial zombies come about and how society is living in that, like you were talking about werewolves. So I'm wondering if you guys had a chance to see that trailer and what your thoughts were on it.
Dan, you want to go first?
Yeah, I watched it a couple times. Yeah, I'm intrigued. I just want to know where's my 28 months later?
I know they skipped that one. So shameful admission from me. I have only ever seen 28 weeks later. I've never seen 28 days.
Well, it's tough to see now because it's not on streaming and the DVD and Blu-rays are out of print. So that'd
Which
be a.
is okay though, because I actually managed to get a Blu-ray double pack of both of them, so I have it.
Nice.
I found it for like $5 on like Black Friday or something one day, so I was like, well, I'll grab this. Yeah.
Damn, dude, you got to throw that on.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so I'll have to study up. I'm glad Cillian Murphy's coming back though, because I think he's a phenomenal actor. Great cast. Aaron Taylor-Johnson's in there and Ralph Fiennes, so I'll be there and I'll do some studying up. And watch the other two. I really like 28 Weeks Later. I've just never seen the first one.
Yeah, I need to revisit
Bad.
that. I need to revisit.
That's all, blokes.
I need to revisit 28 Weeks Later. I remember really enjoying it when I saw it, but it's been years since I've seen that one. And I
Side
didn't
note.
see it as many times as 28 Days Later.
Yeah. Side note, I just realized I said that's all blokes. That's from Kangaroo Jack, where they parody Porky Pig.
Get on, mate. That's all, blokes. Crocodile.
So, but yeah, that's cool. I still haven't seen the trailer. I gotta be honest, y'all. I'm trying these days to kind of stay away from trailers because they keep giving too much away.
I'll watch a trailer once, maybe twice, and then try to avoid it any other time I can. So
Well,
I feel
like
you.
I'm supposed to see Nosferatu with Mama Midnight on Christmas, and I have not seen the trailer yet, and I'm trying to keep it that way. I've managed to be lucky that none of the movies I've gone to have played it beforehand, so I'm hoping to keep it that way. But I just yeah, trailers are I know they're trying to really get people in the theater, but they're starting to give too much away, which I'm not a fan of. Like I like going in having that Christmassy feel of like I don't know what's going to happen.
I'm the opposite. I can never make heads or tails out of these trailers today. It's just a bunch of shit thrown together.
Well, you're also not bothered by spoiler alerts typically, too, so.
Yeah, but I never know what they're about. Like, I need the narrator to walk me through it again.
Yeah, no, but yeah, I'm excited. I'll be checking it out. I'm glad we're getting some more zombie stuff. We don't get a lot of, like, in the 2000s, zombies were everywhere.
They just got so played out for a
I think it was
while.
oversaturated. They had
Yeah, Walking
to
Dead and everything that just
had to pull it
exploded.
back a bit.
I want to do an episode, Roy, probably in the new year, where we talk through the decades of horror about what was like hot at the time. Because you look at like the 80s, it was the slashers, the 90s was like kind of the meta stuff, you know, and then the 2000s we got zombies, but there was also those psychological ones. So I think it'd be a cool study to go through the decades and then highlight films that were like staples of that.
Yeah, I like that idea a lot because each one is its own thing. And also in the 2000s was the first decade of major remakes.
Yeah. So there's a lot to go off of there, but you got one more bit of horror news for us?
I do. They're remaking American Psycho. And the big news out of this is that Austin Butler has been cast to play Patrick Bateman. He's been in movies like Elvis and Dune Part 2. This one's apparently going to take a more related to the book approach. Let me try that again. This one's going to be more true to the book. And I'm kind of intrigued how they're going to do that because a lot of shit in the book, I don't know how you could put that on a big screen because it is so just crazy, like violence and sex and stuff. So I'm wondering how they're going to adapt the book into a movie because the original one followed the book at a surface level but didn't really dive into some of the crazier shit. So, wondering what you guys think of a remake of American Psycho and how Austin Butler may or may not stack up to Batman.
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale, yes. I'm Batman.
So I've
I'm
got
Bateman.
a bit of a Bateman. Wow. If that's not out in the ether somewhere yet, I will be shocked because that's too good. I'm of a bit of a mixed mind with this one. I don't have like universal love for American Psycho. I liked it. I just watched it for the first time last year. But I'm not like super opposed to a redo because I don't have nostalgia or like universal praise for it. But at the same time, Christian Bale is so synonymous with that character that I'm really gonna have to open my mind a bit to see somebody else do it. That being said, Austin Butler is a great actor. I didn't like the Elvis movie, but he was really good as Elvis. And then I have not seen Dune, but I know a lot of people like his character in that, so I'm sure I'll see it. I'm going in reserved though, I think.
Yeah, I like that the Christian Bale American Psycho has taken on a life of its own almost because it's far enough removed from the book. Kind of like The Shining, you could look at them as two separate entities.
Well, I've also never read the book too, so the closer approach to the book doesn't really mean a whole lot to me, so it's going to be interesting to look at it from that way. Maybe I will read the book beforehand. That'd be a cool experiment.
I'd recommend it. It's pretty crazy. Dan, you got any thoughts on American Psycho remake? Have you read the book?
I have not. I'm kind of in the same place as Kevin. I mean, I like it. I watch it. I probably don't. It's not one I'll watch a bunch, but yeah, I'd probably just have to go in with an open mind as well.
Yeah.
And I feel like I don't know the actor's name, but I know there's been a lot of controversy between this other actor they should have got instead of
Oh,
Butler,
yeah.
because he's done stuff that in the same realm as the Bateman adaptation of the character. And they said, I've heard a lot of discussions that they said what he's doing now could, in the movie would be some killer stuff. So I don't know. I feel like I've seen some stuff, but I mean, I felt the same way when Heath Ledger was cast as Joker, and
Right.
he's one of my favorite interpretations of the Joker. So you never know until somebody's put in the movie, and then go from there.
Well, so I'm looking. So Jacob Elordi is the other actor that people wanted, it looks like.
Okay.
He's known for the Kissing Booth movies on Netflix. He played Elvis in a Priscilla like biopic.
They're really going after the Elvises.
Yeah, right. I guess he's in Euphoria, that show. He's also going to be in a Frankenstein reboot that I didn't know was being made by Guillermo del Toro.
Oh my God,
Okay.
that sounds awesome. Have you seen the
Yo,
photos?
no.
No. Yeah,
I didn't hear anything about this.
I think they've only released like the laboratory photo from the Frankenstein. Yeah.
Dude, this is going to Netflix. It's made by Guillermo del Toro. It's based off the book. It's got Oscar Isaac is playing Victor Frankenstein. Jacob Elordi's playing the monster. Mia Goth is in this.
Damn.
Christoph Waltz is in it. Holy shit. I have not heard anything about this.
Well, they've been keeping it under wraps. I feel like I've heard like bits and pieces, and then it was maybe last month that little stuff has released. So I think he's kind of not releasing a lot to give away. Just like I think the director for Nosferatu is doing.
Yeah.
Do you see you can buy Nosferatu's bed?
Wow.
Did they have replicas or is it like the legit bed?
They just did replicas, but that thing, yeah, it's pretty massive. I don't know if I could sleep in one of those.
Well, I'm excited for this Frankenstein reboot.
Oh, quick, you say.
Another bit of news that ties along with our zombies. They're, I guess, going to remaster. I don't know if you guys are fans of Tom Savini's Night of the Living Dead.
Oh,
Never
yes, from 1990.
seen it. Yeah, so he's going to get some kind of like retreatment or so. I didn't read much about it, but something's going to happen. And he sounded really positive about it because when he was directing that movie, he thought it was going to be terrible because he was going through a lot of family stuff and it was his first direct debut and all that stuff. So,
I really like that one.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I've heard it's good. I want to watch it because Bill Moseley's in it too. So,
Tony
Sid
Todd.
Haig. Yeah, Tony Todd. Yeah, I want to check this one out for sure. But yeah, so that's horror news as well. So a lot of stuff coming out. Obviously, the thing to end on is that we are 3 days now from the release of Nosferatu. So
I'll go see
we.
it next week too, so.
Yeah, it's probably gonna, again, no idea why they're releasing it on Christmas, but Merry Christmas to us.
Well, the new Return of the Living Dead is going to come out at Christmas also.
Yeah, I hope Nosferatu is good. I really want it to be amazing.
There's been a lot of buzz about it, so we can only hope that that buzz is real and it's not fake.
Well, again, Robert Eggers, a bit of a mixed bag for me, but he is a really talented director because I love The Witch. Haven't seen The Lighthouse, but I liked what I've seen. And then I really wasn't big on The Northman. So, bit of a mixed bag. So I hope this one is the same enjoyment I got when I saw The Witch. So.
Yeah, it'll just be cool to see a classic remade on the big screen like that.
Yeah, we haven't done a classic reboot like this of something from this far back in a while too, so.
Well, like you were saying, we don't get a lot of werewolf movies. One thing that intrigues me about the new Frankenstein is when was the last time we got a Frankenstein movie? Was it in the 40s? Did anybody put one out in the
We've
past
got
couple decades?
I
There's been a
Frankenstein
couple.
in, yeah, we got I Frankenstein in
Oh,
2014 with
God.
Aaron Eckhart.
Well, Frankenstein is so much different in the book than people think of from the 1930s films. He can speak, he reads, he's just dealing out knowledge to these villagers. So that should be good.
De Niro, didn't he play Frankenstein?
Robert De Niro?
Was it De Niro? Or who was it? It's one of those guys. Let me look it up.
What movie was it?
It was Frankenstein. A
Are you sure?
Frankenstein.
Also, I see a Frankenstein mask on Dan's wall as we're talking about
Oh,
this.
yeah, look at that. Yes.
There's Puppet Master over here.
Rob Zombie's Halloween poster I'm looking at.
Yeah.
What's that one above Puppet Master?
Oh, that's for In Search of Darkness.
Oh, okay.
It's the documentary series where they did about all the 80s movies.
Nice.
They've done three of them, and then they just did one about 90s horror.
I see that It 1990 up there too, above Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Yeah, that's there's it, and then you got the other two Pennywise from.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Hey, while we're stalling, it's also Mark Anthony Brownlee's birthday, Anthony, that we've
Hey.
had on. So wish him a happy birthday.
Happy
Shout out,
birthday,
Anthony.
dude. That's awesome.
Here we go.
I had the pleasure of watching Blackula with him.
Yeah, we're gonna do that episode in the new year. I'm excited for that one.
Really good movie. I wasn't sure what to expect of it. Like we said, we thought it was a comedy, but it's this real dark detective story set in 70s Los Angeles. Really good stuff.
Okay.
Yep, I was right. De Niro.
All right, what movie? What year?
Ah! Right, there he is. Frankenstein.
And Dan dropped the phone. You're dropping the ball,
It's
Dan. Damn
okay. Damn it!
Punish. Dan just got hit
Punish.
by Billy.
Oh, next to the chest.
That'd be scary as hell. Someone showed up right behind me.
Roy and I would be super shitty people for not telling you that we see a Santa Claus
Yeah, there's
behind
like, hey,
you.
there's somebody right behind you. Like, oh shit.
I'm not a snitch.
Niches get access to the chest, yeah.
Let's
I think an
see. Come
axe to the
on,
chest
internet,
would
you're
be so
kidding.
much worse than an axe to the head. Because, like, axe to the chest, you're just kind of bleeding out for a while. Axe to the head is done.
Well, hopefully we
Right?
never have to find out,
Come
Roy.
on. Slow
I go
ass
back and
internet.
forth. Like, if I get killed by a famous serial killer, at least I've done something notable.
Okay. Well, on that cheery note, we can start doing plugs while we're wrapping up
Looks
here.
like it was 1994 Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Oh, there was a Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, but still, that's 30 years gone
Yeah.
Let's not talk about that.
There's
Dan,
been few.
you wanna plug your store?
Yeah, so I had to write it down because I feel like I get it wrong every time.
Okay.
It's DG Studios dot storeenvy.com.
And
And then
what do you sell over there?
I sell custom horror figures. There's pop culture in there as well. I do custom commissions. My socials are Dirty Gnome Dan on pretty much anything. If you can't find it, then I probably don't have it, but mainly Instagram. Probably X out there somewhere.
Not sure if you have an X account.
I do. I'm not on it that much.
Gotcha.
Not a triple X account, Roy.
No.
Vin Diesel.
All right. But yeah, everybody, be sure to go check out Dan's work. Pick up something real good. You will not be disappointed. Those figures are top notch. So Dan, thank you for joining us. We'll be sure to get you back in the new year. Absolutely.
Hell
Roy,
yeah.
where the fuck can people get some R. Jacob Honeybrook writing for the holidays?
I'll tell you where the fuck they can get some honey love. Over on Instagram at author underscore Honeybrook. There you can see all the nonsense I post, and there is a link to my Amazon page. There you can find all of my books. They're all just 99 cents. The perfect gift idea for that special lady in your life. I have gotten my own books for women, and they always enjoy them.
Aren't you working on a new one?
Am I? I should be.
I
I know you just didn't your cover, right?
released the cover art for New Year's Killing Eve 2. It was supposed to be out by now, and I just didn't write it.
Well, you
I
have a
mean,
year to do it now.
it's all right.
Yeah, I mean,
2025.
my life kind of fell apart in October, so we've been focusing on eating, paying rent.
I'm only
And
laughing because when Dan said, "Are you working on a new one?" something Roy said on the phone earlier before we recorded was funny to
I haven't been doing
contradict
shit, is the
that.
short answer. And you can catch me over at tbmhorror.com. There I have a weekly column called R. Jacob's Honeycut. There I talk about different horror movies. Did a interview recently with Brandon Alvis from Haunted Discoveries. He's a paranormal investigator, has his own TV show. So We talk the world of ghost hunting, history, and even some of his favorite horror movies. So check that out if you have a chance.
And then do you have another article coming out today, Roy?
Again, I haven't written shit.
Well, that's a no.
It'll I might do it on Silent Night, Deadly Night. If I do, it'll probably be out either. Well, it'll have to be tomorrow because I'm leaving Tuesday. So hopefully we can get something out by tomorrow.
Gotcha. Well, I'll try to link the latest article to the episode.
Right
But
on.
then if you what?
Right
What'd you say?
on.
Okay. And
No,
then
right now.
righto, governor. I'm gonna stop with the impressions for the day.
All right. And then on that note, if you want to get in touch with the Midnight Terrors podcast, you can find us on Facebook under Midnight Terrors Podcast. You can shoot us an email at midnightterrorspodcast@gmail.com. You can check out our Linktree, which has our T Public store if you want to pick up some merch. And you can join our Facebook group just called Midnight Terrors Podcast if you want to come talk some horror with all our friends and family and us. It's a good time. Look forward to like one or two more episodes to close out the year. But this is the Midnight Terrors Podcast. We love y'all. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. We love y'all, and we'll see you soon. Peace.